This is Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio, broadcasted on WFHB. We air every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Stay tuned for some more.
Welcome to Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio. Hereabouts is produced by Indiana University's Asian Culture Center in collaboration with WFHB. We ask critical questions about identity, culture, community, and shared assumptions. Hi, everyone. My name is Kevin.
And I'm Audrey.
Audrey and I are filling in for Melanie and Andy today. We are excited for you all to meet a couple of Pacific Islander women making waves on the Indiana University Bloomington campus. In celebration of Women's History Month, Hereabouts is recognizing AAPI Hoosiers who have made and continue to make positive impact to their communities and Indiana through their service, activism, and leadership.
Our guests for today are Dana Taborn and Leilani Jackson, both juniors at IU Bloomington. Together, they co-founded the Pacific Islander Student Association, or PISA for short. Both Dana and Leilani have been spearheading activities for PISA in order to spread awareness of the Pacific Islander issues, as well as nurturing the Pacific Islander community at IU. Welcome, Dana and Leilani. Do you mind giving us a brief introduction about yourselves?
Hi, everyone. I'm Dana Taborn. I'm a junior studying business analytics and information systems through the Kelly School of Business. I'm from South Bend, Indiana.
Hey, guys. I'm Leilani Jackson. I'm also a junior in the O'Neill School majoring in environmental management, and I'm from Marion, Indiana.
Awesome. So I guess we wanted to just start by asking how everyone's semester has been going. I know we're recording this during midterms week, so I know I am a little bit stressed out, but doing fine. How about you guys?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm in my spring break mode already, so I'm trying to focus on tests, but I'm really looking forward to next week in reality.
Yeah, I agree. I'm super stressed right now, especially because of finals. But once Friday after 12:45 hits, I'm done.
Yeah, I totally feel that. I have an exam on Thursday, so really excited to get to the end of the week. But for now, could you tell us a little bit more about how you two met and how the idea for a Pacific Islander Student Association came up?
So... Leilani and I met during our sophomore year.
Yeah.
And we had there was a panel. It was an over a cup of tea discussion. And it was like being a Pacific Islander in Indiana and like in higher education. I guess like freshman year and most of sophomore year, we didn't really see a lot of like Pacific Islanders. And so when we both had the opportunity to be on that panel, we exchanged numbers quick because it's hard to find people that identify as Pacific Islander on campus. And throughout that discussion, we came up with the idea of starting the Pacific Islander Student Association. And that took a lot of planning, and we officially became a recognized student organization this past fall. And so we're still really new, but we have so much planned for our last two semesters here at IU, and we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the panel because that was one of the things that I helped organize at the Asian Culture Center. And I know you guys are from kind of similar backgrounds, being from Indiana and also being of a multiracial Pacific Islander background. Did you want to talk a little bit more maybe about how it was for you growing up in Indiana?
Just to give background, both me and Dana are actually Black and Samoan, which I felt like being on the panel, I was like, wow, we connect, you know, like even more. Just having those two kind of identities. So growing up in Indiana, I mean, there's really not that many Pacific Islanders. I really only got that connection with my side of the family and just really close connections. But as far as growing up in Indiana, I feel like most people just saw me as Black, if anything, because, you know, that was what most Indiana people new outside of, you know, maybe Latino or Black or white. And, you know, those are, I feel like, our main demographics here. And so I feel like it was always like people saw me as Black, but they knew there was like a little more behind that, especially with my name. And so I feel like growing up in Indiana, it was kind of hard connecting with my Samoan identity specifically, because there wasn't that much representation anywhere outside of my family. And most people didn't know anything about the culture. So, you know, I never really got the chance to discuss that in school or in my community or anything when it was outside my family.
Yeah, I agree. Most of my life, I've been surrounded with my Samoan side of the family. And so coming to IU specifically, I was like, there are like no Pacific Islanders here. And this is really, it's so different from what I grew up with. But also I, whenever people would ask me like what I was, I'd always say I was Samoan and Black, but they were like, what's that? And so I'd have to say I was like Hawaiian, because everybody knows like what Hawaii is, but they don't really know what like Samoan or Tongan is. So I guess that like coming to IU, it wasn't completely different. Like our experiences are still kind of similar to how it was growing up. It's just, it's a little more like prevalent now than it was when I was like 15 in South Bend, Indiana, where my family was.
I was just going to say, I definitely relate to your guys' experience. I know at my school, my tiny elementary school in Indianapolis, there was actually one other Pacific Islander who was Chamorro from Guam. And so I think like everyone saw her and she looked a little bit more Pacific Islander. So everyone kind of, I remember in second grade, they gave us each like a state to do research on and like do a short presentation to the class. And I remember she was given the state Hawaii, and I was like, but I'm Native Hawaiian. Why didn't I get Hawaii? They gave it to the girl who was from Guam. So I just, yeah, I really relate to that mentality where everybody just assumes all the Pacific Islands are Hawaii. So yeah, I just remembered that.
None of us are strangers to feeling underrepresented or the minority community. But more specifically, Dana and Leilanu, what do you think are the top concerns or maybe some important issues that Pacific Islanders in Indiana are facing today?
I think the top issue right now is representation. And like, you can go anywhere and they'll always be like, I know somebody that's Black or Hispanic or Asian. But when you bring up any type of Pacific Islander, they're like, what's that? Is it like The Rock? I'm like, yeah, but there's so much more to Pacific Islander culture than The Rock. And I think that Indiana has trouble recognizing different cultural backgrounds, but more specifically Pacific Islander cultural backgrounds.
Yeah, and to go off the whole representation thing too, I think specifically Pacific Islanders get grouped into like the AAPI category. So it's like Asian American and Pacific Islanders. And so I think a lot in Indiana, we're still really confined to that categorization, when just even like the Asian American like category itself is so broad. And so to like, to kind of put us in there too, it's just like, there's lots of different Asian identities, lots of different Pacific Islander identities within that. And so I think, you know, places like California, like you say, Pacific Islander, like they know that. But in Indiana, it's still kind of like uncertain, or, you know, kind of like behind the curtain when you like kind of look into like the actual AAPI like acronym. And so definitely, I think just more awareness of the community in that sense is really lacking in Indiana.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you say that, because I really have noticed that there's been more variation in how Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders are being grouped. For example, in my informatics class, we're working on highlighting underrepresented innovators in technology, and Asians aren't even a group that we are allowed to choose to talk about, but Pacific Islanders are, which is really interesting.
That is very different.
Yeah, I think I've seen more and more in the news about recognizing how there are specific differences between the Asian American experience and the Pacific Islander experience. I think when, like, going back to that panel that you guys mentioned, I remember Natasha saying, like, one of the things that you should say, like, if you're specifically talking about something that affects Asian Americans, just say, you can say Asian American without saying the Pacific Islander part too, if it doesn't apply. So yeah, I think there is more of an awareness now in recognizing the differences. But I do think, on the other hand, there is there's power in numbers. And like you guys said, there is hardly any Pacific Islanders here in Indiana. So I do find also just a better sense of community, if you will, being within that larger group. So yeah, I think there's different perspectives on both sides. Going back to PISA, I want to hear more about that. So I know you mentioned a few things, some of the issues that you think are facing Pacific Islanders in Indiana. I know that PISA is a very new organization, like you said, but I just wanted to hear more about any kind of goals that you have for the organization going forward.
I think our biggest goal is to make sure that IU specifically has a group for Pacific Islander students to feel safe, and they can talk about anything that they really want to express. Because before PISA, I don't think there was anything. And so this is just a big step by itself. But we want this to last. And right now it's kind of difficult because we don't really have the numbers. We do have members, but some aren't as active as others. And so it's hard to build that engagement and make sure that we're building something that'll last longer than like when we graduate, it'll still be here. Mm-hmm. So I think that right now that's our goal. But before we graduate, we have a lot of other things that we want to do.
Yeah. And I think definitely too is just spreading awareness of Pacific Islanders and the culture on campus is something that I think PISA really has a continuous goal of. But off of that, I hope that, you know, if there are some Pacific Islanders, you know, looking at IU, they can be like, hey, there's actually a club here for me. Like, I would have somewhere to turn to that can feel a little bit more like home if I do attend IU. And so I definitely think that that's a goal that I want for PISA, is just to let incoming students know that there's a place for them where they can go and, you know, feel comfortable and feel safe. And so I definitely think that is one of the main continuing goals of PISA.
So I know that Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, which is in May nationally, will be celebrated at IU in April, so that we can have our full Heritage Month before all the students leave for summer break. Does PISA have any plans to recognize AAPI Heritage Month?
Yeah, of course. So we're actually trying to plan a full week of events that week, where, you know, we have some more educational activities, we have some social activities, just to kind of get out and get everybody in community, and we're also planning on speaking with some other Pacific Islanders, you know, in the Midwest region, and just seeing how all of our experiences kind of line up, being in these, you know, small Midwestern landlocked states. And so definitely we're still planning all of those events. But yeah, we're really excited with this being our first year as an organization to really get those events going, so that we can springboard those into more programming throughout the year. But definitely we want to spotlight the PI in AAPI month.
I was just going to say that we're super excited about that. And I know that a lot of like PISA hasn't been doing a lot of like general body meetings, but that's because we're doing a lot of work on the like in the background, trying to make sure that we can get these events to happen. And so as soon as we have stuff more set in stone, we'll be releasing like flyers and more information about it so that people can come.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, it sounds like you have a lot planned and you're really genuinely passionate about what you do. For Dana, I know you participated in the Reproductive Justice Leadership Institute hosted by the National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum. Would you mind telling us more about your experience participating in that workshop?
So that was, I think we started in October and we were ending this month. And so there's a group of Asian and Pacific Islander women, and we come together and we just talk about like community building and ways to hold demonstrations. And the first meeting, I was a little surprised because there was only like one other Pacific Islander woman there. And I think there was like, close to 50, and it was spread throughout the US. And so we just like talk about our experiences, especially because we're all in different places. And then we break off into our like states chapter. And so the Indiana chapter, I think there's like 15 members, and that gives us the opportunity to just like have a more open conversation, and figure out ways to like lead within your communities. And I think that was super important, and it has definitely helped me a lot, and has helped my leadership skills, because now I know how to be a more effective leader, and take into account things that I probably wouldn't have if I didn't get this experience. And it's definitely something that people should look into, because it's great and you can meet amazing people. And I talk to some of them every day, and it's just great. It's a great experience.
Yeah, that's awesome that you can bring what you learned from all these women across the country back to IU. Yeah, that's really great.
You talked about your drive and how you're really a driven person. I happened to see an interview with you on the Tab I Use Instagram page about an event that was like Jewish and Black solidarity. Could you tell me more about how you ended up being one of the organizers of that event?
Yeah. So outside of my piece of work, I'm just all about cultural competency and, you know, really like getting to know people unlike yourself. So I actually this past summer in August went to Israel with the Hillel Culture Center. And from that, I met some of my best friends. I learned more about Jewish people and Jewish culture. And as an offshoot of that, I actually went to a conference in Georgia in October that focused on Black and Jewish relations. And that was in Atlanta, so the heart of the civil rights movement and things as such. And so at that conference, I met a guy who works for, he's the national youth president for an organization that focuses on Black and Jewish relations. And so they had just helped produce this film that kind of showed the history of how those relations formed and, you know, where we can see them today with like Senator Warnock and Senator Ossoff. And so I was just like, hey, I want to show this at my campus. You know, like I've never met really a Jewish person before I came to campus. And I know there's a lot of other Black students who really don't have exposure to that culture. And so I just thought this would be a great forum for, you know, those two communities to come to come together and just kind of interact with each other and, you know, see how we can foster better relations like that on campus. And so, yeah, whoever runs the tab, James Romano was there and he's just like, hey, can I do an interview with you? And I was just like, okay. Like, I wasn't planning to talk. I wasn't planning to, you know, give any type of panelist input. I just wanted to make that happen and have that kind of available to students. And so, yeah, that's how that happened.
Yeah, I think that's really wild. and just, it goes to reiterate like what you guys have been talking about, how like you can find connections anywhere and find somebody who wants to do a project with you and make something happen. And I find that really inspiring because I definitely don't think I would have had that drive when I was an undergrad to do that kind of project. So yeah, that's really cool.
Dana and Leilanu, what would you say is the most fulfilling part of your work with PISA?
I think building these connections. I think it's especially this semester, Leilanu and I have gotten to meet so many amazing people outside of IU and within IU. And we've noticed that they care so much about like our initiative and they want to help as much as they can. And I just think that that's amazing. And we know that we have that support and like, we know that going through this process, we're not alone and we have people to rely on. So I think that just getting that chance to like venture out and meet these amazing people is so fulfilling in our work with PISA.
Yeah, definitely. Jumping off of that, just everybody that we've met through this process just has wholeheartedly supported us and shared their resources with us, which is so helpful for us. And I know we both truly appreciate it. And also just seeing the interest in others is really exciting. I know last semester we had like a Pacific Islander themed dinner and the turnout was amazing. And it was just great to see everybody there, you know, and interested in the culture. And I feel like that like family in the Pacific Islander culture is just so big and just like community and everything. Cause you know, we're from like these really small islands. And so, you know, it's a saying that, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And like, that's so true. And that finding our village here on campus has just been, so rewarding, for us. And it makes it feel more like home.
So I know you guys have been working with Pacific Islander organizations from other universities. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
So the University of Michigan made a benchmarking report about like Pacific Islander like students and engagement. And we read it. And one of the suggestions they had was creating a Big Ten Pacific Islander network. And I was like, that was really cool. And I wanted to see what we could do to like start working on that. And so we reached out to the University of Michigan and their like multi-ethnic student affairs office. And we got connected with like the director and the associate director. And they met with us like pretty quickly after that because they were excited that we were interested in building something like this. And so we met with them first. It was the Asian Culture Center and MESA. And we like basically just created like a list of things we wanted to do. And like, we wanted to reach out to other schools and then create something so that Pacific Islander students in the Big Ten schools had that resource. And then with that, we got connected to their Oceanic Student Association. And most of them are graduate students, but they really wanted to meet with us. And so we've been meeting with them, as well as people from, I think it's like the University of
Santa Barbara, or like Berkeley.
Just so many different places, okay? And even though they're not like all Big Ten schools, they all were interested in what we wanted to do. And so they like willingly meet with us at like the random times throughout the week, just to like hear what we're doing and like get any updates on events that we're hosting. Because one of our events for the Pacific Islander Week, it's an over a cup of tea discussion, but it's with like other students from the University of Michigan, as well as some professors, because we wanted it to be Pacific Islander experiences within higher education, but with the perspectives of like undergraduate, graduate, and educators. And they're so supportive in this process, and they're like consistently emailing us throughout the week to see when we're having meetings and when we're gonna meet. And so with that, we created this relationship where we wanna get things done, but we wanna have fun. Bars. we have like, we want to do a retreat and a conference, and none of that would have happened if we didn't like take that step of reaching out to the University of Michigan. And I think that all of these people are super amazing, and they really enjoy, or I hope they really enjoy like speaking with us.
That's awesome that they're so willing to meet with you, because that's definitely in contrast with, you know, how you were saying earlier, how it's so hard to get people on the same schedules and get people to reply to your emails. So yeah, that's awesome.
I think that's one of the silver linings that has come out of the pandemic, is that people are able to expand their networks so much wider than we ever could have imagined earlier. Like, obviously, there have always been collaborations between universities and conferences and things like that. But I think the ease at which we can now communicate and have events and virtual panels and things like that has really increased. So maybe that's one good thing that's come out of all of this. So I think we'll wrap up our discussion here. So I just want to say thank you to both Leilanu and Dana. You both are really inspiring. I couldn't have thought of two more inspiring AAPI undergraduates at IU Bloomington. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you so much for having us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for giving us this opportunity. It was so great speaking with both of you.
And thank you to everybody who's listening.
Hereabouts is produced by the Asian Culture Center. Our conversation is with Dana Taborn and Leilanu Jackson. Our sound engineers are Andrew Pace and Michael Sears, as well as Brian Yu. Our theme music is Eternal Youth by Rude.
Thank you for listening to Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio, broadcasted on WFHB. Again, we air every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Stay tuned for some more. See you next week.